They say the best things in life are free. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus states, "Freely you've received, freely give." Everything we do here at Renewed Heart Ministries is for free. We are a not-for-profit adult religious re-education ministry, helping folks rediscover and understand the teachings of the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you'd like to help us do what we do, I'll tell you how you can become a supporter of Renewed Heart Ministries after this. But for now, it's our hope that as you listen, your heart will be renewed and inspired to embody the beautiful values and teachings of the Jesus story, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. This is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. It's been a while since we've done a podcast. I've been traveling a lot over the last couple of weeks. I think the last podcast that we did was right at the end of the month of October. So it's good to be back. Also, I'm fighting a little bit of a sinus infection this week, so I apologize for the more than usual nasal tone that this week's podcast is going to have. I'm doing my best to prevent that, but some of it's still coming through. But our feature text this week is Luke 4, 18 through 19, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for those with prison blindness, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I'm just getting back from Phoenix, Arizona, where I conducted a five-day religious re-education series for adults on the revolutionary teachings of the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And a sampling of the teachings that we looked at were the self-affirming, enemy-transforming nonviolence for the oppressed, found in Matthew 5, 39 through 40, Jesus' preferential option for the poor, found in Matthew 5, 42, Luke 4, 18 through 19, which we just read, Luke 6, verse 30, and Luke 11, 41, Jesus' teachings on enemy love, found in Matthew 5, 44, and Luke 6, 27 through 28, and forgiveness, Mark 11, 25, Matthew 6, 14 through 15, and Luke 6, 37. Jesus' teachings on restorative or transformative justice, Matthew 23, 23, and Luke 11, 42, Luke 18, verse 7. The redistribution of wealth, Mark 10, verse 21, Matthew 6, 19 through 34, and Luke 12, 33 through 34. The golden rule, Matthew 7, 12. And lastly, the modeling that Jesus did of a heterogeneous shared table, and that's found in Mark 2, 16, and Luke 14, 12 through 14. And this series is on our website now, so you'll be able to go and listen to it. It's called The Revolutionary Jesus. If you go to our resources tab on the top, it'll drop down, and in that drop down menu is audio presentations. And I think The Revolutionary Jesus is the second series that you'll find on that page. But what I've noticed more and more over the last couple of years as I've spoken about the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, is that the teachings that he taught are somehow new thoughts and new ideas to many of the Christians that I meet, at least where I've traveled. I'm not saying this is true as a whole. I'm not making a claim that large. Just at least where I've traveled here in Western American, mostly white Christian congregations that are they're just unfamiliar with Jesus's actual teachings. And at the same time, they have a very strong idea about what it means for them to be a Christian. And this phenomenon has a long history in the United States, at least as far back as the 1700s. A significant voice for the 18th century American patriotism was Thomas Paine. And Paine was one of the founding fathers of the American Revolution, who also was one of the first to speak out. He was among the first to speak out against slavery and in favor of abolition. And what led landed Payne, though, in the most of the trouble that he was in was his book, The Age of Reason. And in this book, Payne critiques institutional religion as an oppressive force, and he also starts to question the supernatural claims that the contemporary Christianity around him, the institutionalized Christianity, made about Jesus, which it makes sense. But the supernatural claims that have historically been critiqued are the divinity of Jesus, the virgin birth, the miracle of Jesus, the substitutionary death of Jesus to satisfy the wrath of a God, and the resurrection. And whenever Christians become institutionalized and they get in power, these are the elements of the Jesus story that usually are critiqued. But what struck me as odd is that as I wrote this list out, the divinity of Jesus, the virgin birth, the miracle of Jesus, the substitutionary death of Jesus as a satisfaction or paying of a penalty, and the resurrection, many of you who are listening have been conditioned, and we need to wake up to this. We've been conditioned to place greater importance on mentally assenting to this list than on endeavoring to follow the teachings of the first list that I shared. What we've learned to call the second list is faith. That's what we believe. And the first list, too often by many, is looked at as just behaviorism. It's a list of things to do. But the Jesus of the Gospels taught the first list himself. The second list, Jesus doesn't go around trying to get a lot of people to embrace. Add to that the fact that mentally assenting to any item on the second list, it doesn't necessarily change the world around us for the better, whereas endeavoring to practice even one item on the list of Jesus' teachings transforms each of its practitioner into an agent of healing in this world here and now. So historically, free thinkers and secularists like Thomas Paine have agreed with and sought to apply the teachings, the values and the ethics found in the Jesus story, some of the things in the first list, but by no means all of them, but some of those things. And they've seen those teachings to have deep intrinsic worth, especially the Golden Rule, which if we just practice that alone, that could change our societies from the top down. But there wouldn't be a top or a down. It would just be it would be a brand new world. My concern this week is that more and more I'm witnessing the harm that we're doing as Christians in the world today, rather than being the source of healing that the Jesus story calls us to be. This was evident this week as well, if you've been watching what's taking place in the discussions in America right now. If I had to choose between, number one, someone who was slightly certain about the supernatural claims of traditional Christianity, yet was unfamiliar with or simply disregarded the actual ethical teachings of the Jesus story, and number two, someone who questioned or even doubted the supernatural claims, yet they were dedicated to learning more deeply how to follow or to apply Jesus's ethical teachings, I would honestly, I'd have to choose the latter and consider them to be endeavoring to be a Jesus follower. Again, it's the first list that Jesus in the Gospels taught himself. We have enough highly certain human beings already who are very sure in our Christian religion and beyond. And in so many ways, the dogmatically certain who will not do as the Christians, especially, who will not do as their Jesus taught, but still hold on to this certitude of this second list, they continue to make the world an unsafe and less compassionate place for many. Now, I'm not talking about those who may hold on to that list, but also the second list, but also practice the first list. I'm talking about those who place so much emphasis and certitude on the second list while having a complete disregard for the first. But to be fair, many Christians today are waking up to the imbalance that we're looking at this week. And I'm just pushing for for more than acknowledgement, more than reformation. What I think is needed is a revolution. Christianity is in desperate need of a revolutionary fusion that puts us back into touch with the original revolutionary Jesus. And I expect to get a few emails this week from those who feel that I've underestimated the traditional supernatural claims of Christianity. But what I'm hoping for is that in a few of us, we'll begin to ask why we feel more passionate about defending those claims while we experience comparatively little concerning the fact that so many Christians disregard the practical, ethical teachings that Jesus taught during his lifetime. So heart group application this week, number one. This week, pick one of the values, one of the ethics or the topics from the first list above and do some research on it. Google it. Start to look it up in your concordances and go through what Jesus actually taught about it first. And then start to branch out from there and research it. And as you study, contemplate the ways in which you would experiment with these teachings in your own life, how you would experiment with them. And number two, write down what you discover. Journal what you're learning as you go through the process. And number three, share and discuss what you find with your heart group this week. I'll close this week with a book recommendation. If you'd like to understand the long history that I mentioned earlier, you can find a great overview in Susan Jacoby's book, Free Thinkers, A History of American Secularism. It was printed in 2005, but it gives you the history of these two lists of claims. But I believe it's time to reassess what it means to follow the Jesus of the Synoptic Gospels. Marcus Borg explains, was Jesus a social revolutionary? In the ordinary sense in which we use the phrase social revolutionary, yes, like the Jewish prophets before him. He was passionate about economic justice and peace, and he advocated active, nonviolent resistance to the domination system of his time. He was a voice of peasant social protest against the economic inequality and violence of the imperial domination system, mediated in the Jewish homeland by the client rulers of the Roman Empire, in Galilee, Herod Antipas, and in Judea and Jerusalem, the temple authorities. He spoke of God's kingdom on earth, as the Lord's Prayer puts it, your kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven. Heaven is not the problem, earth is. But he was not a secular social revolutionary. He was God's revolutionary. And God's passion, what God's passionate about, according to Jesus, is for an earth in which swords are beaten into plowshares, in which nations do not make war against nations anymore, in which every family shall live under their own vine and fig tree, not just subsistence, but more than subsistence. And no one shall make them afraid. Micah 4:1-4, with close parallel in Isaiah 2:1-4. This was the passion of Jesus, and for Christians, Jesus is the revelation of God's passion. Violent revolution? No. Nonviolent revolution? Yes. Of course, Jesus and the Bible are also personal as well as political, of course, but we have not often seen the political meaning of Jesus and the Bible. It is there, and once one sees it, it is so obvious. Not to see it is the product of habituated patterns of thought or of willful blindness. Jesus was and is not about endorsing the rule of domination systems that privilege the wealthy and the powerful. Jesus was and is about God's passion for a very different kind of world. That's from God's Nonviolent Revolutionary by Marcus Borg. Thank you so much for listening this week. As we often say, till the only world that remains is a world where only love reigns. I love each of you dearly, and I'll see you next week. Thank you once again for listening. Everything we do here at Renewed Heart Ministries is for free, even our educational seminars that we do in various venues. We are a not-for-profit religious re-education ministry. If you'd like to support the work of Renewed Heart Ministries, you can make a one-time gift or you can become one of our monthly contributors by going to www.renewedheartministries.com and clicking the Donate tab at the top right. Or you can mail your contributions to Renewed Heart Ministries, P.O. Box 1211, Lewisburg, West Virginia, 24901. Make sure you also sign up for our free resources. And remember, every little bit helps. And as always, anything we receive above and beyond our annual budget, we gladly give away to other charities that are making both systemic and personal differences, significant differences in the lives of the poor. And to those of you who are already supporting the work of RHM, we simply could not do this without you. From all of us here at Renewed Heart Ministries, thank you.